Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
Just to clear up something as well before people, I imagine I'm kind of predicting there are going to be a few texts about Paul Pogba today and his little Instagram post, which went up not too long after Jose Mourinho was sacked, and it was captioned this and a kind of a smug looking Paul Pogba, but as it turns out now, Adidas have confirmed it was a timed, preordained, if you like, promotion for Adidas. The timing was unfortunate, that's why it was subsequently deleted. So Gary Neville, I think, you know, responded on Twitter by saying, why don't you go and do one as well, you know, which I suppose if you took it at face value, it was an understandable reaction because the timing of it seemed pretty horrendously.
I would say, but the timing from an Adidas point of view is fantastic, really.
Yeah.
Anyone whose Twitter account is run by someone else should not have a Twitter account.
Exactly. Correct. Right. I'll give you guys a few minutes to compose yourselves and gather your thoughts on this one, because Dominic McGuinness is with us and is obviously in high demand this evening, given the day that's in it. And Dominic, you're very welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a busy one. It's been a lot of time spent out in the wet and the windy conditions in Manchester, but that's what happens with these things. And of course, it is a huge, huge story. And again, the timing of it is very, very interesting.
Why but, today, Dominic?
I think that there's various factors. Yesterday, I understand that Mourinho was off after the Liverpool game. There's been two comprehensive defeats to the two rivals, the two closest rivals. Obviously, the derby not so long ago, which was, again, a lame display. And then, similarly, with Liverpool, that's just the final straw. Obviously, it's a cumulative thing. I think the thinking behind it, again, it all comes together. It's pre-Christmas, which means it's pre-January. Manchester United as a football club as well. It's not just about the transfer situation or any potential incomings. It's mainly about, can United now keep hold of players? Because the likes of Martial, that was looking at a precarious situation. Again, we understand that he would have wanted out in January. Will he hang around now? We know all about Paul Pogba. I mean, again, what happens with him, it remains to be seen. If he starts turning in amazing performances, that will wind up the supporters probably more than if he's been misfiring as he has been. Because a lot of the players have not done Jose Mourinho any favours. But there's also other things that the club are considering. You know, the stock, the value of the club has fallen since the summer. That's one thing that obviously the Glazers, Ed Woodward, would be extremely mindful of. And you also have the situation where season ticket renewals, they'll be kicking in very, very soon. Now, the club need to address that situation because, you know, the last home game of with Fulham, and then prior to that, Crystal Palace, there were an awful lot of empty seats. That is the kind of thing that will scare Manchester United. So these are all part of the reasons, but obviously the main reason is that what everybody's been looking at on the grass is not good enough. And that's why they've decided to make a decision now to try and get things right ahead of the summer. And that's why there is this caretaker manager situation with a permanent man moving in the summer. Yeah, again, lots of speculation as to who that would probably be. Pochettino, very much the favourite. But this caretaker situation, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, we think will be the caretaker manager. He's currently, you know, waiting for the Norwegian season at the end of March to start again. He's the Molde manager. So that would fit in terms of a man from 96 to 2007 was a player, then managed the reserves from 2008 to 2010. So knows the club very, very well. So all these things have come together. It's a pre-Christmas mad day that we've all spent now dealing with the fallout of this. But we, you know, after a full day spent dealing with obviously Jose Mourinho is gone, we want the next phase of the story now. We need to know who the caretaker is so we can deal with that ahead of the Cardiff City game at the weekend.
Just on the empty seats then, before we move on, there hasn't been, from what we understand, or certainly what we can see over here, a huge stampede of Manchester United fans that were calling for Jose Mourinho to go. You know, there was no huge public displays of outcry in the performances, or certainly I didn't get a sense that the fans were really turning against him. But those empty seats were notable if you look at matches at Old Trafford, and I kind of was trying to make sense of it. I was listening to Andy Mitten today, who is the editor of the United Fanzine magazine, and he was making the point that these are season ticket holders who have paid for their ticket but haven't bothered to turn up for the game.
Yeah, and that's the biggest indictment of the whole thing, isn't it? You know, and you're right in that the fans haven't turned on Mourinho and didn't turn on Mourinho. Speaking to them today, as many as I could speak to, I didn't find anybody that thinks it's a bad move from the club to part ways with Mourinho now. Everyone I spoke to, and I know there are other voices and other fans will have a different opinion, but everybody I spoke to thought, well, yeah, it's the right move. It's the right move. It just wasn't happening. The football was awful. It probably now gives the chance of the club to work on the next permanent manager, and just this season, bit of a write-off. But obviously, they're still in the Champions League. So that makes it an interesting decision, if you like. They've got the game with PSG in February. There's loads of tough fixtures around that as well. But they've taken everything into account, and clearly, you know, the fans have voted with their feet recently. They haven't, as I say, they've kind of backed Mourinho. They've been vocal in backing him, even though the football has been awful this season, really, on the whole. But it's kind of the United's fans, it's been a case of, well, Mourinho's just one cog in this whole big machine, and changes need to be made from the grass up. So again, lots of fingers are going to be pointed at Ed Woodward and the Glazer family. It's not just all about Jose Mourinho. They just think, yeah, that's one part of the problem that now has been fixed. There's a lot more to do.
Tony, were you surprised by this news?
Well, the timing does surprise me. I'd be interested in Dominic's view, because, you know, why today and not yesterday? Does everyone in at Old Trafford at executive level take a day off when they've gone to Anfield for a Sunday match?
No, Mourinho was in London. So what's happened is he was with his family. After the Liverpool game, he'd gone down to London, and then he came back to take training this morning and was, you know, called in to speak to Ed at Carrington at the training ground. So he got the news this morning, and the players, a lot of them were off yesterday. So the whole thing has just come together today for that reason. It's just a practical, logistical thing, no more than that.
I would have expected, though, a club as big as United would have a succession plan in place, and that we should know who the man is now, because the game's coming up. Cardiff on Saturday, mm-hmm. Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Newcastle. For United, no matter what state they're in, they're
fast.
All really winnable games, though.
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, the Cardiff City one would be interesting if it is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that's going to step in with Mike Phelan, we understand, because obviously his connection with Cardiff City as well. He managed there and was sacked from there in 2014. That's his Premier League experience, where he did take them down and then left. But again, yeah, they are winnable games. So you do think that could Mourinho, had he survived, he could have seen out December with a few wins, just turn the situation around a little bit. They are 11 points off fourth place, 19 off the leaders. You know, however you try and make a case for Mourinho hanging around, you know, the chance, Champions League, yes, they've got through that away day with Juventus. But really, domestically, the Premier League, it's been fairly shocking. I mean, there's been, to beat Fulham is one thing, and no one was really falling for that. I mean, that's papering over the cracks in the extreme, because obviously, as soon as he stepped up to face a decent side, and I might be underplaying that, in Liverpool, a very, very good side, you know, they got spanked, basically. And that's the problem, is that Mourinho doesn't seem to have... He's made more than 50 changes to personnel this season. He doesn't know his best team. The players don't seem to know what they're doing. There's no cohesion, and we know that, you know, suggestions that he's lost the dressing room and all the nonsense with Pogba and everything else. So, you know, I think it's all just come together, you know, a bit of a perfect storm on a very stormy day here.
And how significant do you think are the rumours around Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Do you think that that's going to stick? Because to me, that seems a bit of an underwhelming appointment when you've pointed out his Premier League record with Cardiff, and even his record at Molde isn't that great.
No, I think it's just somebody to hold the reins, and I think he's very, very strong favourite. The whispers that we've heard today is that you know, we would expect that to happen. Now, I don't think it's going to have to be done extremely soon, so you would think that, you know, obviously it's got to be in the next 24, 48 hours anyway. Someone's got to take the pre-match press conference on Friday ahead of the Cardiff City game, so we're not going to be hanging around too long, and I think the club are really going to want to move on this, because they want to move the story on, we all do. I mean, Jose Mourinho being sacked, we've kind of dealt with that, so it's got to kind of move on. But I think Solskjaer coming in, he'd be considered to be a fairly safe pair of hands to just see the season through without any, you know, I don't think anything spectacular would be expected, but because he does have a bit of experience, because he still has a connection with the club. He was at the Young Boys game recently as well, because obviously he knows Michael Carrick and Kieran McKenna has come in long since Solskjaer's gone. But can he work with these people? You'd think so, a very affable, amiable guy, but he does have steel. Solskjaer does have steel about it. And then obviously there's Nicky Butt, who's head of the academy, but Carrick, but they are not going to be considered for this caretaker role. But, you know, Solskjaer has more real experience, obviously, at managerial level than those two. He's won the Norwegian League twice, he's won a Norwegian Cup, and then we know about his Cardiff experience. I'm not saying that's you know, the most impressive CV of all time, but is it enough to hold the reins for a few months, possibly?
Okay. All right. Well, look, I know you're under pressure, Dominic, so we want to let you go. We probably will check in with you next week to kind of get an update on. We have a better idea who is at least taking over in the short term and possibly even longer term. But thank you so much.
There'd be a bit of fun in Roy Keane doing it, wouldn't there?
Oh, listen, we've had a few texts in, lads. I'd throw in Roy Keane with Michael Carrick for the rest of the season. He'd sort Pogba out, and no way will my man Pochettino leave Spurs, says Nick. And I'm sure Tony would agree with him on that one. But look, yeah, we've had a few more texts on those lines. But Dominic, thanks a million for your time. Appreciate it.
All the best.
Super. Tommy McGinnis there. Right, we kind of wanted to get a sense, I suppose, of a few regulars on the show. Famous fans, if you like, the likes of Ken Doherty, our very own Alan Cawley as well, asked for their opinion. Stephanie Roach, if I can get my mouse to work here. There we go. Just basically on their thoughts today when the news came through that Jose Mourinho had been sacked at Manchester United. This is what they had to say.
I don't think today's news is all that surprising, to be honest, because you look at them on Sunday against Liverpool and they're absolutely dominated from start to finish. And the gap between the likes of Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, all those teams is just the gulf in class to the Man United squad is ginormous. So it's not surprising. I think it's the right thing that he's gone. And who for now? I suppose Pochettino must be their number one target. But in the interim period, it'll be interesting to see who to go for. But they just need someone to steady the ship till the end of the season. And if it is a possibility that they can get Pochettino, he has to be the number one man for the job.
Yeah, delighted Mourinho's gone. Don't bring in any more managers from Europe. Give it to somebody who knows the English game. Give it to even an ex-player or something like that. Give it to Giggs or Carrick and somebody from grassroots. That's what I'd like to see. But not somebody else who's just going to come in for the money and try and change it. Because you're not going to change that for a few years. It's going to take time. But Mourinho was the wrong man at the wrong time. Hopefully there'll be a new change on the horizon.
Hi you, Stephanie Roach here. I think a lot of the players just didn't want to play for him and I just don't know how acceptable that is at professional level. And we've got players who just, I think, have made the breakthrough and done really well and they're just not pushing on. And I think in Ferguson's time at the club, these would have been players who would have been obviously sent out on loan quite young, being brought back. And if he's seen potential in them, they would have been played kind of coming off the bench 15 minutes here and there. But you've got players like Marcus Rashford and other young players who are coming in and expected to start from the start and play the 90 minutes and be the stars of the show. And I think there's a lot of pressure on some of their shoulders. And it's important that whoever comes in the kind of interim, it has to be somebody who has that kind of Manchester United in their bones and wants to bring the best out in the club.
Hi Hugh, Darren O'Sullivan here. Going forward, I suppose two names that spring to mind are Zidane and Pochettino. My own thoughts would be Pochettino. I think his principles go along with everything United do in terms of youth, the way he plays, and I think it's a natural progression for him going from Southampton to Spurs and now on to United, hopefully. I just think with Zidane, even though he had three Champions Leagues, I think with the team he had, for me, he's still a small but unproven, whereas Pochettino has kind of worked his way up, and I just think that he'd be a great fit for United.
Hey Hugh, it's Keith Walsh here from Breakfast Republic on 2FM.
I wish that you stuck with David Moyes in the first place. I'm old school like that, you know, I liked Fergie. I think Moyes could have just built up a similar team, and well, anyway, they haven't, so it's back to brass tacks. Who are they going to find? And can they find someone who can unite what seems like a disparate group of players who, I mean, well, apart from Paul Pogba's Instagram posts, they seem to get on pretty well. Can Paul Pogba be turned into a leader? Possibly. I mean, he played okay for France in the World Cup. Can the next manager form a cohesive team out of that group of players? That's the challenge. And is there a problem with the board? Is that the ultimate problem?
Yeah, so there you go. There's a flavour of just thoughts, I suppose, today on different topics around this one, which I want to get into a couple of seconds, but a couple of texts in first of all. Why not get David Moyes back till the end of the season? After all, he's still 5 months on his contract. He's making fingers. That's true. I heard this today. The original contract that David Moyes signed, he has 5 months still to run if he had honoured that, or if the club at least had honoured that, which is amazing.
I think they need to be really forward thinking on this. Solskjaer, I think, is an absolute joke were he to come in. They have to be really bold, as they were back in the 80s when they went for Ferguson, you know, because it was English domination of football. I know Scottish football was a lot stronger then, but to go for Ferguson was a bold thing to do. I think they need to be bold now, and if I think Eddie Howe would be
ready.
Yeah, I think what he's done at Bournemouth, he's a fantastic coach. He's a really good man manager.
Well, that would fit Ken Doherty's description of what he would like to see in the next manager, which is don't bring in just a big name European for the sake of the money. Get somebody who's proven they can coach at whatever level and, you know, could potentially improve the team.
I don't know, would this go down well with the Man United fans because of his connection with a team up the road, but Rafa Benitez, you know, has got to the end of his tether at Newcastle. He has just done everything. He's worked miracles there. He's a top manager, has at the very highest level, and would be ideal if you know, at least for the interim appointment.
It's puke football though, as well, though. That's the thing.
You know, puke football with puke footballers.
You have to steady the ship. You have to get.
I know, but the thing with Benitez was, I remember speaking to Phil Kenyon, who's the famous putting coach, who's a mad scouser, and knew a lot of the Liverpool players, and a lot of the Liverpool players at the time who were brought in as attacking players were just mithered with Benitez, because all he wanted them was to fulfil their defensive duty and then maybe something might happen. Mm. And that's exactly what Man United look like at the moment. There's no invention at all. They're not allowed to do stuff. I don't think Benitez would appease anyone. Probably appease a lot of Liverpool fans if he went to United, but they need to be really bold and go for someone and give him a plan and let him off.
Mark Langdon, who is the boldest appointment that Manchester United could make in your view?
Well, Rafa Benitez would be incredibly bold. I wouldn't have thought it'd be him. I mean, I always wondered whether Antonio Conte was done with English football. I mean, he left Chelsea in, it wasn't a great way that he left Chelsea, fell out with a few people. But I mean, he's won, you know, the Premier League, he's won the FA Cup, he's won everything there is to win in Italy. I mean, I think if you wanted somebody to sort of go in there and shake things up, I think Conte, you know, could do that quite easily. I mean, he knows English football now, so I mean, I think he would be one maybe to shake it up. But the problem for Manchester United, I think, goes even higher and bigger than Jose Mourinho. When Sir Alex Ferguson left, I mean, he did so much at that club that when he left, just none of the foundations are in place for them to be successful without him, and that they're finding that out now. You know, the scouting department wasn't right, there's no director of football, and most clubs now the size of Manchester United need somebody at board level that kind of can work with the manager. And you know, Ed Woodward and Mourinho clash, but I don't think that should be the relationship. The relationship should be between Mourinho and the director of football, or, you know, whoever the head coach is going to be. So while we can talk about potential replacements for Mourinho, I think they need to get that position sorted out first, and then the director of football, that's the logical step, is the director of football appoints the manager, not the other way around. So you know, United have got a lot of work to do. Even if it was a Conte or Benitez or Pochettino or Zidane, it runs deeper than the coach at the moment.
Okay, that's interesting. And the point you made about Alex Ferguson is pretty well made as well, Mark, in that when you entrust somebody with that amount of power and then they step away ultimately and there aren't the systems in place underneath him to support his absence from what is the overall structure, you're going to find out fairly quickly as well how important they are when they leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Arsene Wenger and Arsenal, while it was a long goodbye and too long for most Arsenal fans to stomach, it actually enabled them, I think, to get a few things in place for when he did leave. We've seen the one guy came in from Barcelona, Minislet came in from Borussia Dortmund, who are now running the show sort of above Unai Emery. So they were able to get that in place, and that, you know, that saw them bring in Aubameyang and Torreira, who's made such a good start. And you just need that, and Manchester United just haven't got it. And if you remember Jose Mourinho after the West Ham defeat, he praised the West Ham scout for finding a centre back in Diop, and sort of said, well done to them, the West Ham scout, for finding a centre back like that, which was a clear dig at sort of the departments maybe at Manchester United, and nobody was working together. I mean, I do wonder. I think leaving it until the summer is probably the right thing to do, because you're not going to get a top manager, I don't think, at this point. You know, if it is to be probably Zidane or Pochettino, you would have thought then both of those would be more available in the summer, particularly Zidane, whose English isn't great at the moment. But if you gave him sort of 6 months to get it, I think he would, you know, be able to then command a dressing room, and he would have finished his sabbatical. So maybe that's a good timeline for him to maybe go in there in the summer. But this season's done and dusted. As soon as they drew Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League, I think that was just season over.
We'll talk a bit about Mauricio Pochettino before we go back to Mourinho in a second. And this is what he had to say today when he was asked specifically about the prospect of being headhunted, at least, or would he even consider an approach by Manchester United. This is what he had to say to the media.
First of all, I want to send my best wishes to him, and I feel so sorry, because you know very well I have a very good relationship with him. He's a very good friend, and and always it's sad news what happened today. But you know, I think after nearly 5 years, it's a lot of rumor that happened in my position here, like a manager in Tottenham, and I cannot answer this type of question, because this type of rumor happened in that business, in football. And of course, always I am so, I respect a lot the opinion of everyone. That business, we know very well that the rumor, a lot of rumor happened, but it's not my business what happened in another club now. I am so focused in trying to deliver my best and our best show. Tomorrow we play another derby, and we are focusing tomorrow to deliver our best show.
Tony, he recently signed a new contract until 2023, Mauricio Pochettino. Is there any reason to think that he would consider leaving Spurs at the moment? New stadium almost built now?
Get your hands off Mauricio Pochettino, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me, not just as a Spurs fan, but when you look at where Tottenham are at the moment, the way they're playing, mm-hmm. Pochettino has built an empire there. He's built a structure, and all the way through from recruitment right up to first team, he's got his trusted lieutenants around him. Manchester United is a big club, but so are Tottenham Hotspur, and at the moment Tottenham Hotspur are a brand on the up. If you want to talk about international marketing, they're a team on the up. They've got so much potential, not just with the first team squad, but coming through the squad, the likes of Troy Parrott, of course, we're keeping an eye on and are very hopeful for. So they're just about to move into their new stadium. I mean, Manchester United won't always be Manchester United, the Manchester United that we grew up with, this behemoth, this huge, gigantic merchandising circus, because people have changed. You know, Chelsea came along, Man City have come along, and Tottenham, I think, are the next. And I think with the new stadium and the investment and the world appeal of the brand, I think Pochettino would be thinking to himself, yes, he's going to get more money, but, you know, I think it's more likely that Pochettino will go to Madrid, in fact, than go to Manchester. He has made a huge mark, and Tottenham are in a good place at the moment. And get your hands off Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. I mean, how long can United continue to trade on what have been past performances now? It's been a long time since they won the league, long time since the glory days of Alex Ferguson. And with each passing season that they don't get back to the top level, or certainly the gap appears to be widening, certainly between themselves and Manchester City and the likes of Barcelona and Spain and Paris Saint-Germain, you'd wonder why Pochettino, as Tony says, would consider moving to Manchester United at all.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with a lot of that, really, because United post-Ferguson just haven't done anything, really. They haven't always been in the Champions League. They've won the League Cup and, you know, Europa League, but, I mean, they're almost sort of trophies that you can't celebrate too much. I mean, that there's not much glory to be taken from those competitions. It's just whether Pochettino gets frustrated with Daniel Levy and sort of not trying to show more ambition. And I think that this, you know, it's seen as a bad move at the moment, isn't it, for Tottenham fans? Oh no, you know, is Pochettino going to go? It could be a good thing, because if Pochettino goes to Daniel Levy and says, I need X, Y, and Z in the summer or I'm off, Daniel Levy, I think, would be mad to not bow to those sort of demands, really. And I don't think he's somebody that would want, you know, $300 million to spend. He just wants to be able to, you know, to be a little bit more competitive. But Pochettino had a big say in the work that's gone on at the training ground, which is one of the best in the world. You know, Brazil use their facilities when they're playing, in Europe and stuff like that. So, you know, the hotel that's been built for the players was at the command of Pochettino for when they do double sessions, and so they've got somewhere to stay and rest in the afternoon. He has left a huge impact on the club so far, and it would be a bit like sort of filling up the fruit machine and then watching somebody else come along and sort of take the jackpot just as you leave, because I think that the kind of foundations are there for Tottenham to go on in the next couple of years. Whether they can match Man City, I don't know, but I'm not sure if anybody can, but certainly, you know, that they can make their mark. And he turned down Real. He didn't cause a fuss about going to Real Madrid, so I don't see why he would be in such a desperate hurry to go to Old Trafford if he wasn't that desperate to go to the Bernabeu. So yeah, Mark, I would say if he goes.
Sorry, you talked there, rightly so, about the physical infrastructure around the club as well, and those facilities are impressive. And as you say, they're Pochettino's facilities. But there's also that HR structure, if you like. You know, I know Paul Mitchell, who's moved on since, but like he was a huge part of the Southampton and then the Tottenham success story. He was linked with Manchester United, and maybe he could be the director of football. He's at Leipzig now, but he's the sort of guy that got Dele Alli, Toby Alderweireld, Sadio Mane, Lovren. I mean, that's where United's recruitment has been very, very poor. They've been, you know, picking the most expensive players, or the price of the tag seems to be more important to them than the quality of the player.
And where does this leave? Sorry, my mic up here. Where does this leave Jose Mourinho and his future? It's hard to not feel a little bit of sympathy for him. But yet again, you look at his demeanour over the last couple of seasons, Mark. He's been clearly unhappy, or at least something in him seems to have changed from when he first came to Chelsea, when he was with Porto, when he was this breath of fresh air, this exciting, you know, enthusiastic manager who always had a quip for the press and equally was prepared to take on anybody who kind of questioned him and questioned his coaching ability. He's like a broken shell of that man these days, and I just wonder, has the game moved on beyond him, and has it moved on too far beyond him in order for him to catch up?
Maybe. I don't want to write him off completely because, maybe Manchester United is just the almost the impossible job at the moment. Moyes failed, Van Gaal failed. Maybe it's just the way it is. But he's definitely not. I mean, if you go back to his particularly first time at Chelsea, he had that relationship that Klopp's got with the Liverpool players. I mean, Lampard, Drogba, Terry would have done absolutely anything for him. And, you know, he was sort of the Klopp of that time, really, in the way that Chelsea went about their business. I don't think he's a busted flush everywhere. Certainly his reputation in Italy remains pretty high, and I think the previous club, Inter, where he won the treble, they've got quite a lot of money, haven't had that much success. I wouldn't be amazed if he ended up back there, and I also think at some stage he'll do the Portugal national team job. That just feels like a natural place for him to go. But certainly his enthusiasm for the game seems to have disappeared, really. And you know, he needs to realise that football is now more than just winning. And I think he'd become obsessed with the winning part of it, but for a lot of people now, it's the enjoyment, the buzz, and all the things that go with being a successful brand. And that's, what Manchester United want to be. They don't want to be the second club in Manchester, do they? And they're not far away from being completely forgotten in that regard. And, any more sort of seasons like they're having now, and they will just become another Premier League football team rather than this sort of global enterprise that sort of steamrollers sort of over most other franchises.
I mean, I remember reading Kenny Early's piece in the Irish Times on Monday, Tony, where he said it wasn't even so much that Mourinho was obsessed with winning. He was originally, but recently he'd become obsessed by not losing and setting up his teams as such.
I mean, you talk about body language as well, and even the fact that he continue to live in a hotel in Manchester as long as he's been there, like that's a very clear indication of a man who doesn't want to put down roots. And he seems to be unhappy. Maybe we saw shades of that with Martin O'Neill as well. Your demeanour, if you're not looking like you're enjoying yourself and the players are not looking like they're enjoying themselves, that's a fundamental, something basically wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Mark. Yeah, Gary, you come in there. Yeah,
I think that's where Gary Neville's spot on when he's speaking about the board. So you've come in to manage Manchester United, you're getting paid whatever, 15 million quid a year, and you're living in a hotel room. He's not the boss of the club, he's the boss of the team. But I think the problems are undoubtedly upstairs. David Gill was never replaced, and that's great.
Yeah, as a Liverpool fan, I have a Liverpool and Spurs man sitting in front of me here, Mark, so they're grinning from ear to ear. Look, it's a pleasure as always. We'll catch up next week when we might have more news on who the successor, at least in the short term, is. I think the more you look at it, I know you said Solskjaer isn't a particularly exciting signing, but they have to get someone to take over till the end of the season, Mark. That's just where they're at the moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have preferred Laurent Blanc if they were obsessed with this. He's got to be a United man. I don't see why it needs to be somebody that knows the club. I mean, Solskjaer maybe doesn't even know the club anymore. I mean, the club's moved on from when he was in charge, playing and sort of involved with the youth team. So
right,
I don't know why they're Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, there's 70,000 that go every week that kind of know the club. I mean, I think you go for the best person available short term. But if they're obsessed with getting an ex-United man, for me, I think Laurent Blanc would have been the best appointment. I'd have loved to have seen Eric Cantona have a go. He keeps throwing his hat into the ring for these things. But that would be the kind of outrageous one for me. You say Roy Keane, I'd like to see Eric Cantona have a go. But it sounds to everybody you speak to, Solskjaer's virtually over the line. But it's a bit of a strange one because Mulder, his club, I mean, they're in off-season at the moment, but their season starts before the Premier League finishes. So it'd be a case of him sort of, you know, not being around for the first couple of months, which is quite odd and quite disrespectful, I would have thought.
OK, pleasure as always, Mark. Thanks so much. Brilliant stuff as always. I'm going to talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cheers. Mark Langdon there, football editor with the Racing Post. We have a lot of text to get through, which I'll get through after we take a quick break. I do want to say, though, because I know my little girl, Emily, is driving home from the pantomime with...
Louise.
Little Louise. And all guests of Sarah Hurley today, who organised the whole thing, they went to see the Snow Queen in the Gaiety, who you know Sarah very well, obviously. And she's turned 6 today, so I know she's listening, and I'll not be allowed back in the house if I don't say happy birthday, darling, and hope you had a brilliant
happy
day.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Pro Shield. Chills, shields and cools with blade lubrication. A real winner. Gillette. The best a man can get.
I am the manager of one of the greatest clubs in the world, but I'm also one of the greatest managers in the world. Did you read any philosopher? For example, Hegel?
I haven't read any philosophy.
Just an example. Hegel says, the truth is in the whole. Is always in the hole that you find the truth.
Do you know that what was the result? 3-0.
You lost 3-0.
3-0. Do you know what this means? 3-0. But also mean 3 premierships, and I won more premierships alone than the other 19 managers together. 3 for me and 2 for them. Respect. Respect. Respect, man. Respect. Respect.
I think the only thing Paul Scholes does is to criticize. I don't think he comments. I think he criticizes. It's not Paul Pogba's fault that he made much more money than Paul Scholes. It's not Paul Pogba's fault. It's just the way football is. I think Scholes will be in the history like a phenomenal player. If Paul one day decides to be a manager, I wish that he can be 25% as successful as myself.
This is broken right now. Manchester United's worst start to a season for 26 years. Yeah. You're 19 points behind Liverpool. Yeah. You're 11 points away from the top four. Yeah. Can you fix this?
What do you mean by fix? Do you mean by win the title? Of course not. Of course I can't fix it.
Yeah, so there you go. Some of the highlights, or at least entertaining quips from Jose Mourinho over the last season or so. Do you have any sympathy for him, Tony? Or where do you stand?
Yeah, I do, yeah. It doesn't matter how much you get paid. It doesn't. This is a HR moment. It's a human moment. And for someone to lose their job, I'm in one sense relieved that the BS of a statement saying by mutual consent, it's just come out. He's been sacked.
And the statement was pretty short and cutting today. It said, like, thank you for the job you did. Not even thank you for the brilliant job you did. Not, yeah. It was just... he's gone.
And I don't like PR speak and that nonsense, but of course on a human level, he has been very successful, but it's been tragic to see, you know, in his body language, in his face, in his hair, you know, like he has changed so much before our eyes in the last 2 to 3
years. Do you think Real Madrid broke him, you know, from the player manager that he was going over there? He couldn't deal with the Galacticos, didn't seem to have anywhere near as much respect as the likes of Drogba and Lampard did at Chelsea when he was in Inter Milan. Obviously he won the treble there, fantastic. Goes to Real Madrid, these guys say, who the hell are you?
Well, you see, a bit like Ferguson, part of his modus operandi was to pick a fight. He had to pick a fight. And that's grand when it's us against them and the us is in the majority and you're with the us. But that hasn't happened. Obviously, Paul Pogba and his agency and all of that have proven for now to be bigger than Jose Mourinho and his camp.
Hmm. Spurs are not a big club, Tony. They've won one trophy since the year 2000. They will be put back in their place tomorrow, says Sean.
And in that silly cup that Jose Mourinho won.
The Mickey Mouse Cup. Man United should let Alan take the job. He can jinx them for the rest of the league.
Alan and Roy. That'd be a double act, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. For every decent player Josie has, there was one dud beside him, i.e. Luke Shaw, Darmian, Nemanja Matic, Marouane Fellaini. You need a squad of top talent to win every trophy. Upstairs needs a clear out. And Solskjaer is not the answer. Maybe on the coaching staff with Roy Keane, leaders who won the lot. Roy Keane is not going to happen, lads. Can we just put that in the ground?
But isn't it funny, though, that not so long ago, Martin O'Neill would definitely have been considered for this job. He was like considered for the England job, and he was definitely in the running when the job came up after
That's
after
my point, Ferguson. Though. The game has moved on, unrecognisable from what it was under Martin O'Neill's heyday, unrecognisable from what it is when Jose Mourinho took the Premier League by storm when he came in at Chelsea. The game has moved on. It is the manifestation of Manchester City under Guardiola. It is Liverpool under Klopp, and it is Spurs under Pochettino. That's just and Jose Mourinho, unless he reinvents himself, which I think he's too long in the game and too tired, I think he needs a massive break before if he even thinks about coming back.
He's always said, though, that he wanted to manage Portugal, not necessarily his last job. And, you know, as we've seen, European champions, Portugal are a decent side, whether that's sooner rather than later. But I think it's a job that he will do at some point.
We've had a text in from Richard in Port Leash. He's a Leeds fan, says, guys, United are an enigma. Fact, they didn't win a league for 26 years, even got relegated, still have that New York Yankees hype about them that goes deeper than Ferguson's era, says Richard in Port Leash. This is another one from Paddy in Leash. The board is 100% to take the blame at United. Mourinho was the wrong man at the wrong time, but who'd blame him for taking the position when it's so lucrative? Woodward is a serious problem. Signing the likes of Pogba and especially Sanchez were Woodward's making economic money signings, money-making signings. Sorry, that text is a bit, I've kind of lost half of the screen, so I'll come back to it before at the end of the show. But keep them coming in. 51552 is our text number at GameOn2FM if you want to get in touch on Twitter. We'll leave the last word on this for the moment for Gary Neville speaking to Sky Sports today.
This is not just a moment to sack Jose Mourinho and appoint another manager. This is a moment for the club to take stock of what they're doing, to reset the structure in terms of recruitment, in terms of the football decision-making in the football club. The current management team have had now three chances at appointing a manager. They're probably going to get their fourth, but the manager of that football club in the last two or three years, whoever that would have been, would have found it very difficult, because Manchester City and Liverpool and Tottenham are doing things far better off the pitch, not just on the pitch.
Yeah, that's Gary Neville speaking to Sky Sports today.
Game on 2FM, weekdays from 7:00.